Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording from our October 11th service. Dr. Terry Copeland's talk, We're Not Bred to Be Happy, or The Tiger in the Grass, is introduced by Reverend Bodie. Thanks for listening.
Occasionally over the years of my ministry here, I have invited other members of our congregation, a member or members, to join me in the pulpit in giving the sermon message. And this year, in the absence of a ministerial intern, I'm planning to do a bit more of that. My idea is to ask a potential presenter to suggest a topic to me, and then I'll join that person responding to it in some way or another. And so a few weeks ago, I was talking with Terry Copeland. Terry is a psychologist. He's a close follower of the latest research on human brain situation. He's also a person who regularly leads workshops at our men's retreat. So I asked Terry if he'd be willing to speak and to come up with a sermon topic. And he suggested the sermon title of, We're Not Bred to Be Happy. We're not bred to be happy. In other words, the default position of our brains and our thinking is a negative one, always suspecting, imagining, fearing, and looking for the worst. So as a Calvinist by upbringing and maybe by temperament a little bit, I could certainly relate to this. The theological context in which I was raised was that of the doctrine of original sin. The doctrine of original sin holds that all humans, are born into sin, and we are deserving of everlasting unhappiness. We are, by nature, because of the sin of the original parents, Adam and Eve, we are deserving of eternal punishment in hell, everlasting and eternal punishment. So that was the default position in my early years, a negative one, not of happiness, but of unhappiness. We were not bred to be happy. And for us, the theological issue was not, as you sometimes hear it, why do bad things happen to good people? It's the other way around. Why do good things happen to bad people? That's what we had to try to explain. I'm serious. So, one of my very favorite poets who I've quoted many times is Robinson Jeffers. He grew up in a fairly severe Calvinist background, Presbyterian in his case. He said that he had a single superstition in his life, namely, that when things were going well, they would afterwards go badly. And so, if things are going well, be on the lookout, try to stay low so you're not noticed. Well, at any rate, after Terry and I had committed ourselves to this topic, he indicated to me that he wanted to talk about how we might be able to shift that negative orientation, that is to say that our breeding didn't necessarily have to be deterministic of how we lived. I said to him skeptically, I'm not sure I can relate to that. And so, good luck. You're on your own. And I'll be curious to see how you wriggle out of this. Ladies and gentlemen, members and friends of Quimper Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, Dr. Terry Copeland.
It's always good to have his introductions. He's more fun than I am. Let's just start there. I was going to change the topic just a little bit and call this, there's a book by Dan Brown that you may have read called 10% Happier, which is a great fun book. Dan Brown is an anchor for ABC News, and it's a good read of how he ultimately got into becoming a Buddhist, of all things. So I was going to call this 5% happier, because I'm not sure I can do 10%, but we'll see. So most Neuropsychologists believe that we have around 60,000 thoughts a day. They're just, for me, it's just like little sand fleas in my head. They're just bouncing around all the time. You may not do that, but I do all the time. And the interesting thing of those 60,000 thoughts, the majority of those are negative. So you go, why would you possibly design a brain that thought negatively most of the time? I suspect for many of you, I don't need to teach you how to worry or teach you how to jump into gloom and doom. At least I can do that. I'm going to sell my car on Tuesday, which is no great interest to you, to a private buyer. And I was detailing it yesterday, trying to make it nice, vacuum it out and everything. And I backed into my garage and cracked the bumper. So I honestly, I was pretty angry there for a while. And then the question goes, well, how does this work? You know, why? How does that happen that I just jump to this angry state for a bit? And we'll get there in just a bit. So 70,000 years ago, most of us, most of my family, were in South Central Africa. We took off, we went north and east at that time. But before we left, we'd be walking down the Serengeti Plain, and we'd see the grass fields, and we're getting ready to go through it, and we see the grass moving, and we say to ourselves, oh, that's just the wind. We get down there, though, and it's the tiger. We're taking out the gene pool, right? So another guy goes down, and he sees the grass moving, and he says, oh my God, it's the tiger again. But no, it's the wind. But this guy can make that mistake over and over and over. Hundreds of times he can predict gloom and doom and live. The first guy's out of the gene pool. This guy goes on to have more children. And their kids go down, oh my God, it's the wind. No, it's the tiger. They're out of the gene pool too. The guy that sees the grass moving says, it's the tiger, no, it's the wind, keeps making that mistake. So one of the things we know, I think, in dogs is that we can breed traits in and out of dogs in about 10, 12 generations. We've had thousands and thousands of generations since that time. At the break after the first service, Ruthie Rue, I don't know if you know Ruthie, came up and said that she's always positive, and it's just, you know, really quite positive. I think some of that positivity is genetic. I think there's some people that made it through being positive. But you may know that. You may know your children, perhaps, when they come out of the hatch. Some are very, almost instantly, happy kids. Some are, you simply cannot please them at all. So there's a genetic component there. We're going to take off a little bit on brain stuff, and I promise not to bore you. I apologize to the psychologists here that are about 50 of you here. do me a favor, put your hands together. Okay, that's your brain, goes up there. You can take them down. Now, I always like doing this just to see how people do that. They do quite nicely. So here's your cortex. Here's your midbrain, here's your spinal cord, here's your prefrontal cortex up here where you think from. So a lot of people call the midbrain the reptilian part of your brain. I just can call it the alligator. It's just as good a word to me as reptilian. So under these two fingernails, literally, are the receptor sites for fight, flight, food, sex. Very good alligator functions. Non-thinking, though. So if I hear a big boom right now, I'm going to go like this. I don't quite know why, but the alligator has responded that fast. It's not a computer, I understand that, but you can measure electrical flow in your brain. And it turns out that this piece here runs 5 times faster than your prefrontal cortex. It's quite a thought if you think about it. So we're going to hit kind of this one more piece about the brain, and I'll stop. Way down deep in the middle of your brain is a piece of tissue, don't remember, it's called the amygdala. The amygdala is the place in your brain, it's the fear sensor. When that boom goes off, this is the one that rewires right into fight flight, and I'm going to do whatever I do. It's exactly what happened to me when I backed into the post yesterday. One of the things that I think a lot of psychologists and mental health people and physicians think these days is that there's not much difference between your mind and your body. So whatever you are thinking or feeling affects your physiology and vice versa. We know if you can act assertively, you feel better, okay? But there's a real tight connection between mind and body. My daughter, I'll do better this time, my daughter is an alcoholic, and a lot of pain there for me, honestly and truly. Good news is she's 3.5 years sober. I'm glad that that's there, but it was a tough struggle. 3 rehabs, stole money from us, lot of things that were not pleasant. So I developed a back problem, and I had a muscle, I can feel it right there, that would swell up. It was like the size of a lima bean. You could actually feel it. It just kind of swell up. And I go see my chiropractor, Janice Bala, over in Edmonds, and I used to call her Sister Mary Evil. She's a nice person, but she would put her elbow on that spot and lean down on it, and it would just bring tears to my eyes, but it would go away. And then a week later, it would come back. I'd go see her again. She'd lean on, go away, come back, go away, come back. So there's a orthopedic surgeon named John Sarno, S-A-R-N-O. John Sarno stopped doing back surgeries because he believed that almost all soft tissue pain was psychologically based, if not, at least made it worse. And I knew, and Sarno gets it down to the two major big emotions in my world, fear and anger. Okay, I knew if I ever told my daughter how truly angry I was with her and also my fear, that I'd ruin the relationship. I would just blow her apart with my anger, just so angry. So Sarno says, you don't have to understand, you don't have to fix it exactly, but you need to understand that what your body is doing is in response to these intense motions that you cannot deal with or won't deal with. At the top of the order of service, Bruce was kind enough to put in a quote from Woody Allen. It says, I don't get upset, I grow a tumor. Ha, ha, ha. There's an enormous amount of truth to that. So the question is to me then, what do you do, what can you do when this negativity comes up? What do you do when you get kind of, and I want to be clear, this is not for like major depression or stuff like this, but it's a very helpful thing that we do, try to do. You probably remember I Love Lucy, and you probably remember the scene where Lucy and Ethel are at the bakery, where the cake comes out, Lucy's to put it into the box, goes down the conveyor belt, Ethel's there to pick it up, and of course Ethel is called off, and all of these things are just going down the end and falling off the end, and she can't keep up. So one of the things that I think that we, if you think about it, that we all realize is that a thought is just a thought. It's not real. That's hard to get a hold of, but a thought is just a thought. I can ask you to think of green people with antlers, and you can do it. When I have people with obsessive compulsive disorder coming to see me, we talk about the brain, that there's a piece in the brain that gets stuck. And once you start thinking of negative or horrible things, it just gets stuck. It's a misfiring of how the brain works. Been very helpful for them to realize that their huge and giant fears is just a thought that gets stuck in their brain. Very helpful. So yesterday, I got a lot of practice with the conveyor belt because I was really angry. I need to just notice it as a thought, not spend a lot of time on it. let it go to the end of the conveyor belt, let it drop off, knowing full well it's going to come back around again. And then I can say, well, there it is again. There's that crazy thought. Put it away, let it go down the end and fall off. I think I did that about 10 times yesterday, but it did not consume me. Because what I would normally do is, oh, stupid Terry, God, how can you be so dumb? Why can't you, are you getting old? What's the deal? And I would sit and beat myself up, and here I just need to notice it and let it move on. Really try that sometimes when you think about it. Second thing that I'd ask you to think about doing is actually from a book that I love being married to my wife for a lot of reasons, but one is that she reads a lot more than I do. And she tells me great stories, and I just steal them and call them my own. So there's a book called Awakening Joy by a guy named Jamie Baraz, who is a Buddhist conference leader. He grew up in New York City with his Jewish mother, and his mother would complain about everything. Anything there was to complain about, she would. Any ache or pain she had, she would talk to her son and complain about it. Price of bread going up 2%, that people didn't answer her calls, all the stuff, just all negativity. So Jamie asked his mother to do one thing, that whenever she had a complaint, to follow it up with the phrase, and my life is blessed. Okay. Now what happens to your brain, funny little thing here, the left prefrontal cortex thinks positive thoughts, and the right prefrontal cortex thinks negative thoughts. So whenever she had that negative thought going, she can move it over to this side. And Chris and I do this a fair amount, because almost all complaints we have these days, really and truly, are just first world concerns, honestly. Our lives are truly blessed, genuinely and truly blessed. The sense of gratitude, being able to move my negative thinking from there to here, is very helpful. Third thing I'd ask you to think about, a neurologist line is, neurons that fire together, wire together. Let me go back just a bit to the brain. Got 100 billion neurons, 100 billion neurons up there. None of them touch. Don't know how you do that. So I'm a nerve cell, got these arms called axons, don't remember this stuff, and these little roots called dendrites. And these dendrites come together, come close to, but don't touch the others. Okay? We have 5 trillion dendritic connections. I'm not sure I can even write that number. It's a huge, huge number of these things that don't connect. So if I pay attention to something negative, I will pull the dendrites literally over to this thing and develop a neural path in my brain. Mike Moskowitz is the editor of the American Journal of Pain Management, a guy down in Santa Barbara. When he was a younger man, he took a bad fall and injured himself, and he had some kind of neck pain. And then as he started focusing on his neck pain, it got stronger. And after a while of focusing on his neck pain, he started to have kind of shoulder pain. As he started thinking about his shoulder pain, it started getting to the middle of his back, to the point that he couldn't walk. So he has this neural path to this pain. He thinks about it, and you develop another neural path, and another, and another, and it just starts to consume your body. Okay. So how do you get these dendrites that are not attached to attach to something else? First, be very careful what you pay attention to. Really, if you think of negative stuff, what happens is you develop a neural path to that spot. So, the Buddhist monks, obviously, are probably the masters of how to train your brain. A lot of these guys have been former scientists, former science people, and some of them have been willing to go to get fMRIs of their brains when they're meditating, and functional magnetic resonance imaging, or PET scans. And these things can color your brain from blue, purple, black colors, low functioning, all the way up to red, yellow, very high functioning stuff. So when these guys are meditating and being scanned, their brain, this side is red, yellow, this side is black. Now, I don't know if you get that, but they have trained their brain functionally to change to this positive thinking. I think that's just extraordinary. This almost gives me chills up and down my back when I think about what is happening in their brain that they can do that. None of us, let me rephrase it. I am not going to spend 4 hours a day meditating. I wish I could, I can't. I won't, probably. But it takes about 30 seconds to pull up a memory or to create a memory and get this dendritic connection. A little psychological trick here. Don't talk to anybody about it. Can you remember what you had for dinner last night? Everybody remember what you had for dinner last night? Okay. That's not a memory. That's a new constructed memory. It came from all sorts of parts in your brain to come up with this new thought. And if I had you, and you had to think about, okay, what was it? What did it taste like? All these kinds of things. Point. When you spend about 30 seconds, you get this dendritic connection. Okay. So one of the things I'd ask you, third thing I'd ask you to think of doing, and we'll do it right now, is I'd like for you. We're going to do this for about 30 seconds once we get it all set up. I'd like for you to think of something extraordinarily positive or pleasurable or rewarding in your life, holding your grandchild when they're sleeping, dancing with your partner. Bruce, I asked him in the first service, the joy of having a hole-in-one, you know, okay? Getting an eagle, the sense of joy that just comes over you, okay? And what I'm going to ask you to do is we're just going to take about 30 seconds. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath in just a second and try and replay that as if it's on a screen in your mind of something that gave you great peace or great joy. Some big deep breath. And then think of that scene for about 30 seconds. Thank you. What you did by doing that is moving instantly to your left prefrontal cortex by doing that. So please understand that if you're paying attention to negative stuff, you're going to be hanging out on this side of your brain. And the question is, how can you move that to something more constructive? We all have our stories. We all have periods of great pain, things we worry about, things we're terribly concerned about, but I've got to be able to move that to something more constructive. I can't stay away from the negativity, but I can turn it off for a little bit. Oh, I'm getting time cue from my wife. I guess the point is be very careful of what you pay attention to. Be careful of not focusing on that all the time. Have some way of getting out that away from that. I like a lot, and my life is blessed. I teach that to all my clients. All my clients, when they complain about anything, because once they start to realize their lives really are blessed, gratitude goes a long way. Second is be able to visualize something that gives you great peace. Do it 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times a day, as long as you want. And get away from that. The conveyor belt, you know, for me, I'm not going to get rid of all of my negativity. I wished I could, but it's not working. So when it comes up, I've got to put it on that belt and just let it go on around, knowing full well it's going to come right back again over time. Thank you.